So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
Today is Friday, August 15th, 2014. This is News One Now with Roland Martin. Certainly glad to be with you on this day. It is the weekend, baby. Kicking the show off with the show. Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick. Always jamming. So glad to be with you on this day. Lots and lots and lots of things to talk about, all related to Ferguson, of course. In this hour, we're going to hear from Congressman Lacey Clay. He, of course, is the member of Congress who represents that particular area. We'll hear from him 36 after the hour. We'll also hear from the ACLU of Missouri, Is that how it's put out? Missouri? They have filed a lawsuit trying to obtain, make all of the documents related to the murder of Mike Brown public. And so we'll be chatting with them as well. We'll also be hearing from a state senator there as well, who she was tough on the governor yesterday. She tweeted, F you, Governor Jay Nixon, to his lack of leadership when it came to what's happening in Ferguson. We'll hear from her. We'll also have someone from the Cato Institute talking about libertarians, how this issue taking place in Ferguson, Missouri, has seemingly united liberals, progressives, conservatives, and libertarians when it comes to the militarization of police forces. And so we will hear from her also. Got a great panel lined up. Lauren Victoria Burke, Greg Carr, Howard University, as well as Corey Dade. Lots and lots of things going on in the show. Plus, we will play for you President Barack Obama's statement on yesterday with regards to what happened in Ferguson. In fact, let's get that ready to play right now, folks. President Barack Obama yesterday held a statement where he talked about what needs to happen in Ferguson. Here's President Barack Obama while he was on vacation in Martha's Vineyard.
I want to address something that's been in the news over the last couple of days, and that's the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. I know that many Americans have been deeply disturbed by the images we've seen in the heartland of our country as police have clashed with people protesting. Today, I'd like us all to take a step back and think about how we're going to be moving forward. This morning, I received a thorough update on the situation from Attorney General Eric Holder, who's been following it and been in communication with his team. I've already tasked the Department of Justice and the FBI to independently investigate the death of Michael Brown, along with local officials on the ground. The Department of Justice is also consulting with local authorities about ways that they can maintain public safety without restricting the right of peaceful protest and while avoiding unnecessary escalation. I made clear to the Attorney General that we should do what is necessary to help determine exactly what happened and to see that justice is done. I also just spoke with Governor Jay Nixon of Missouri. I expressed my concern over the violent turn that events have taken on the ground and underscored that now is the time for all of us to reflect on what's happened and to find a way to come together going forward. He is going to be traveling to Ferguson. He is a good man and a fine governor, and I'm confident that working together, he's going to be able to communicate his desire to make sure that justice is done and his desire to make sure that public safety is maintained in an appropriate way. Of course, it's important to remember how this started. We lost a young man, Michael Brown, in heartbreaking and tragic circumstances. He was 18 years old. His family will never hold Michael in their arms again. And when something like this happens, the local authorities, including the police, have a responsibility to be open and transparent about how they are investigating that death and how they are protecting the people in their communities. There is never an excuse for violence against police or for those who would use this tragedy as a cover for vandalism or looting. There's also no excuse for police to use excessive force against peaceful protests or to throw protesters in jail for lawfully exercising their First Amendment rights. And here in the United States of America, police should not be bullying or arresting journalists who are just trying to do their jobs and report to the American people on what they see on the ground. Put simply, we all need to hold ourselves to a high standard, particularly those of us in positions of authority. I know that emotions are raw right now in Ferguson, and there are certainly passionate differences about what has happened. There are going to be different accounts of how this tragedy occurred. There are going to be differences in terms of what needs to happen going forward. That's part of our democracy. But let's remember that we're all part of one American family. We are united in common values, and that includes belief in equality under the law, a basic respect for public order, and the right to peaceful public protest, a reverence for the dignity of every single man, woman, and child among us, and the need for accountability when it comes to our government. So now's the time for healing. Now's the time for peace and calm on the streets of Ferguson. Now is the time for an open and transparent process to see that justice is done. And I've asked that the Attorney General and the U.S. Attorney on the scene continue to work with local officials to move that process forward. They will be reporting to me in the coming days about what's being done to make sure that happens. Thanks very much, everybody.
Folks, that was President Barack Obama yesterday talking about issues in Ferguson. Coming up next, Ebony McMorris gives us headlines. 36 after the hour, we'll hear from Congressman Lacey Clay of Missouri. 7 after the hour, this is News One Now with Roland Martin.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland
in the Martin. Studio, I've got with me Ebony McMorris.
Roland, protests have been taking place all over in response to the death of unarmed teen Michael Brown due to the hands of police. And hundreds gathered in Washington, D.C. to show their support and stand in solidarity with protesters in Ferguson, Missouri. With me this morning is Devin Barrington Ward with the Black Youth Project, one of the organizers for the D.C. rally. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I was there yesterday, and there were hundreds of people that came out. What prompted you to put this together?
Well, myself and several other individuals, one, just felt the immediate outrage that many people felt. It was very reminiscent of the Trayvon Martin situation when we realized that Mr. Zimmerman was not arrested. And also that feeling came back when we saw that he was acquitted on those charges. And so immediately people took to social media, and there were several, you know, hashtags that were circulating around Black Lives Matter, hashtag Ferguson, hashtag Michael Brown. But we wanted to kind of develop that into something that was tangible, that brought people together around collective healing, that allowed people and members of the community to come together and express that anger, express that sadness, express that hurt, express that disappointment, but do it in a way that would spur some type of productivity as it pertains to how we move forward as a community so that we don't have to reopen these wounds all the time when another black life is taken at the hands of law enforcement.
Many people feel that we're very reactionary. What do you feel is going to come out of this?
Well, one of the things is that we did have, and we do have a list of demands. The demonstration yesterday, the national moment of silence that took place in D.C. and other cities around the country was really an opportunity to, one, let's do some healing first, and then let's talk about how we move forward. We understand that, you know, a black man is killed by the vigilantes or the police every 28 hours. And so there needs to be some real solutions around that. One, we saw how diverse the crowd was yesterday. And so that's an opportunity to have some real conversations around race. We know that there was a study that was recently released earlier this month, and it showed that once white people learn that our criminal justice system disproportionately targets black folks in terms of the laws, they're more likely to support harsher criminal justice policies. And so, one, we need to have some real conversations with our white counterparts around race and conversations that are very uncomfortable. Oftentimes when we have conversations about race and racism, it makes white white people very uncomfortable, and it's not a conversation they're very willing to engage in. But we saw that yesterday there was a united coalition of people of many different races. In addition to that, we also had calls yesterday on increased transparency and accountability for law enforcement. In the District of Columbia right now, the police chief has secured some money from the council in the upcoming budget to launch a pilot program for body cameras on police officers. However, that has not really been done in a process that has involved the community. We don't know where that footage is going to be stored, how it's going to be used, when the public will have access to that footage, if there's an incident with a police officer that is assigned a body camera, and how many officers are going to be assigned body cameras in this pilot program moving forward, and what's going to be the metric of success. And so while we are overwhelmingly supportive of any situation or any means that allows increased surveillance of the police or policing of the police, we want to make sure that the community has an opportunity for increased buy-in. And then also the continued militarization of the police. We see in Ferguson that these police officers are equipped with armored vehicles, are equipped with gas masks, and are equipped with riot gear that are beyond suppressing or trying to keep the peace. And so when you have police that are equipped with this type of military-like equipment, they oftentimes act in a more aggressive manner. And so now we've not only seen one injustice where a black man was killed, but then when black communities decide to rally and to protest and to execute their constitutional rights, we see that that is now also an issue where because these police are equipped with this military-like equipment, they're trying to suppress free speech. And so there are numerous solutions that were discussed yesterday, and it was really an opportunity to bring people together. We had sign-in sheets that were circulating for people to get involved with the various organizations that help pull the National Moment of Silence together in D.C. and around the country.
Are you intending to stage another demonstration?
I think that's something that the community will have to, that it will come from the community. If the community feels the need to continue these demonstrations and to continue these moments of collective healing, and to continue expressing their anger in a way that's peaceful, then of course we will do whatever we can to help organize that. One of the chants that was repeated yesterday over and over again was organize, organize, organize. And so as community activists, as young activists, it's our job to try and bring people together when we feel that the community wants to be brought together around the subject. Additionally, beyond demonstrations and vigils and moments of silence, we also want to make sure that we're bringing the community around some tangible action items like, lobbying your local legislators or council people or your mayor around body cameras, or making sure that the community advisory boards or different local entities that are made up of citizens that kind of police the police, making sure that those boards have some power and have some responsibility, and that it's truly reflective of the community that the police are serving. I think it's very telling that a town of Ferguson, which is over 60% African American, only has 3 African American police officers on the force. And that's indicative in not only Ferguson, Missouri, but in many police departments around the country that are responsible for protecting and serving communities of color.
That was Devin Barrington Ward with the Black Youth Project. Devin, thank you so much for coming on the show. Roland, back over to you.
All right, Ebony, for more of your hot topics, log on to news1.com. Back with more of News One Now with Roland Martin.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
28 after the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. I apologize for being late. Of course, I do a segment, 7:17, the Tom Jordan Morning Show. We were just chatting with attorney Ben Crump. He, of course, was the attorney for the Trayvon Martin family. He is now the attorney for Mike Brown's family. Stunning comments that he made and we're going to have that for you. We're going to play it for you. He first of all, let me recap what he just told me on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. Attorney Ben Crump says that the family now has the body of Mike Brown. The body has been released. They have yet to plan his funeral because they plan on having an independent autopsy done on Mike Brown. He also said that they are pushing for the FBI to conduct their own autopsy and not rely on the county medical examiner there where Ferguson is located. What Ben Crump also said is that he said he has seen the body. And he said that people will be outraged when they hear the autopsy report. In Ben Crump's words, Mike Brown was executed by this Ferguson police officer, and that the accounts of the witnesses are on the mark. One of the things that Crump also said is that the people who are out here protesting cannot simply fall back now that you see the calm there taking place in Ferguson. The focus now has to remain on Mike Brown and on justice. Several media outlets are reporting that the police chief of Ferguson says the name of the police officer is going to be released today. What I still don't understand is how here we are 6 days after Mike Brown was gunned down, and the autopsy report is not being released. Folks, I have covered numerous cases. I've covered cases involving murder where I've talked to the medical examiner's office, where I've done the interviews. I can tell you that there is no reason for it to take 6 days for an autopsy to be released. This is what I'm talking about when you talk about the issue of trust when it comes to a police department. People do not trust the Ferguson Police Department. People do not trust that they are going to do the right thing. And so lots of things for us to talk about, lots of things for us to get into. Again, we'll be getting the audio in just a second from the interview that I just conducted with Ben Crump, the attorney for the family. But he did say that the body is now with the family of Mike Brown, but they want to wait to hold the funeral. They have not even planned the funeral of Mike Brown yet until the independent autopsy is done. Coming up next, Missouri Congressman Lacey Clay joins me right here on News One Now. I'm Roland Martin. Back in a moment.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
23 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. We are joined on the phone lines by Congressman Lacey Clay, based there in St. Louis, Democratic Congressman. Congressman Clay, welcome to News One Now.
Hey, good morning, Roland, and thank you for having me.
There are lots of things happening, obviously, in Ferguson. First off, yesterday, Governor Jay Nixon announced that Ferguson Police and St. Louis County Police were not going to be responsible for policing the various protesters. He brought in the state troopers. We saw Captain Ron Johnson. Clearly, there was a much different attitude, a much different focus last night. He even was hugging marchers, marched with them, made it clear that you would not see tear gas. It was a lot more peaceful in Ferguson.
Yes, and last night in Ferguson was far more peaceful than the previous four evenings, and I was relieved to see it. You know, since Saturday, I've been in constant contact with Governor Jay Nixon, and I have to commend him for his strong action of putting the Missouri Highway Patrol in charge of police security in Ferguson. And that's a good first step, and I will continue to work closely with the governor to ensure a viable and totally independent criminal investigation takes place.
Congressman, you also, look, I mean, what I've said is there's been a lack of leadership there. I don't believe the mayor, as the city council, the police chief has been awful. A lot of people also questioning whether or not the prosecutor in that area, who is very pro-police, is going to have the guts to actually pursue a real investigation against this police officer. Should the governor appoint a state prosecutor to take over as well?
Well, the governor has the authority to appoint a special prosecutor, but I will also push the White House and Justice Department for the broadest possible federal investigation to ensure justice for Mike Brown and his family.
So when you say there has to be, though, a state prosecution first before a federal prosecution.
Sure, and I have advocated that and have described Mike Brown's shooting as a murder. And that's not a legal finding, but when a police officer repeatedly shoots an unarmed suspect who is 35 feet away and unarmed and trying to surrender, I don't know what else to call it. And so if the St. Louis County prosecutor, Bob McCullough, does not bring murder in the first degree charges, then the prosecution will not be fair in my opinion.
Now, you're going to have people who say, wait a minute, we don't have all of the facts. We don't have all of those things in yet to justify first-degree murder charges.
Well, here's what I know. Mike Brown was my constituent. He was bright, talented, full of hope, 18 years old, and ready to start college. He was also male, black, and unarmed, and sadly, that made him a target. And his tragic death is a symptom of a much bigger problem. Unarmed men of color who are doing nothing wrong, interacting with law enforcement, and winding up dead. And so that tells me I made a commitment to his family to pursue justice on their behalf so that his life and death will not be in vain. And I intend to keep that promise with Miss Max Patton, who is Michael Brown's mother, and we will continue to pursue justice.
I talked to Attorney Ben Crump on the Tom Joyner Morning Show literally 20 minutes ago. He said that that in this case, Mike Brown was executed.
And that's a accurate description. I'm quoted in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this morning as saying Mike Brown was murdered. And when you look at all of the facts, if you cannot reach that conclusion, then we must have a new definition of murder in this country.
When we look at what's happening there, I mean, this is a city that has significant racial issues. It's had it for quite some time. But also you have, you look at the election last year. You're someone who's there. Explain to me how you can have a city that is 67% black, two-thirds African-American, but you have an election where you have no African-Americans on the school board, only one African-American on the city council, a police force, 53 officers, only three are African-American. What's going on there? How in the world can two-thirds of a city be black and virtually have no black political and elected leadership?
Well, it's not for a lack of trying. I will say that candidates have been fielded for those offices. And the problem comes in really actively participating in the electoral process. Now, we as the political leadership of St. Louis need to make a earnest effort to go out and register those people to vote, and then follow up by ensuring that they do have qualified candidates running, and that they get to the polls and actually cast their ballots.
Congressman, hold tight 1 second. I'm going to a break right now. I want to continue my conversation with you. Folks, your number to call is 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. 16 before the top of the hour. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
11. Before the top of the hour, welcome back, News One Now. We continue our conversation with Congressman Lacey Clay. Number to call is 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. Congressman, we talk about the issue of what's next. What should be next in terms of people all across the country having rallies yesterday, having all sorts of protests, silent vigils. But this case is not over.
No, it's not, Roland. And now the attention and focus should be on how Michael Brown's family actually gets justice from our legal system. And so that is why we have to remain vigilant. That is why I have urged Attorney General Eric Holder to take over the entire investigation and to pursue and prosecute the officer who, by the way, Ferguson police say now that they are going to name this officer to sometime today. And so we have to remain vigilant. We have to pursue justice for this family, and that's what I intend to do.
I made the point about a crisis of leadership. I've even had people who have been tweeting, who have been calling, critical of you, saying you need to be more out front, more vocal, more vigilant when it comes to these issues. How do you respond to that?
Well, I know what my role is as a U.S. congressman, and that is to ensure that the federal government ensures that Mr. Brown's civil rights are intact and were not violated, and I will be pushing from the federal level to see that that his murderer is fully prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And so there's no issue about what my role is and should be.
When we talk about next steps, clearly the release of the autopsy is going to be critical. Does it make sense to you that here we are on the sixth day after he was killed, and we still don't have the autopsy? I've covered many cases that involve autopsies. I don't recall many where you waited 6 days.
Well, and it's kind of strange too that we have to wait 2 weeks for a grand jury to meet and to decide whether they're going to bring charges at all against this officer. And so that's why I'm very fearful about what the criminal prosecution is going to be. And that's why I prodded and continued to work with the governor to encourage him to take another perspective in this case and to actually appoint a special prosecutor. I've asked my congressional delegation with Senator McCaskill to urge the U.S. Department of Justice to take over the investigation and the prosecution of this case. In St. Louis County, there is a pattern of African Americans being unjustly treated in our legal system, from judges to the county prosecutor to the police department. And if we don't do something different in this case, that's going to continue.
All right, sir. Well, we certainly are going to be following this case to the next steps. Last thing, Attorney Ben Crump says the FBI should conduct their own autopsy on the body of Mike Brown and not trust the St. Louis County Medical Examiner. Do you agree?
I agree totally with Mr. Crumby, because the key will be over the next couple of weeks, the facts that come out, facts that come from police department, from the St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office, versus what Mr. Crump and the family reveal to the public. And now that's going to be the next debate, Roland, and we have to remain vigilant and continue to advocate for this family's legal rights.
Okay. Congressman Lacey Clay, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, and you have a good day.
Thank you very much. Up next, folks, we'll take your phone calls. Give us a call right now, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. Love to get your thoughts. Also, in the next hour, I'm going to play for you the interview I conducted with Attorney Ben Crump on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. It was hard to hear some of the things that he described when it came to the body of Mike Brown. 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Welcome back, News One Now. We continue our conversation about what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri. You can now participate by giving us a call, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. To the phone lines, Tanya, calling from Atlanta, listening via WAOK. You're on News One Now with Roland Martin.
Good morning, Roland.
Hey, Tanya.
The mother of a black boy, and I'm a law professor in Atlanta, and I am just outraged. I have three quick points. My first point is, as much as we need to deal with the civil rights that have been infringed and make sure the prosecution occurs the way it should, there's a human rights violation that started with his murder. And we need to stop these human rights violations. America is a killing field for our black boys, and we've got to address that. This brings me to my second point. We need to vote for justice. We need to link voting activism to the need to change policy and law. It's not just that the laws are being exercised in racialized ways. It's that the laws themselves are racialized and allow for misinterpretation and misapplication. And my third and final point is that I want us to be careful about highlighting Michael Brown as a perfect person, because he doesn't have to be a perfect person. He's a human being, and he's entitled to live, whether he was on his way to college or not. All of our black boys are entitled to the protection that the Constitution ensures for them, and we don't have to be perfect in order to enjoy the same privileges and rights that everyone else enjoys, just by being human beings.
Well, here's the deal. I don't fall for that notion that somebody is perfect or an angel. Because here's the deal, okay? This is not a reference to Mike Brown or anybody in particular.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is a drug dealer.
Yes.
And they are gunned down by the police.
Yes.
And it is unjust. It does not matter.
Absolutely.
And so that's the, everybody has due process.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that we have here. And look, the police officer has due process. And I'm not overlooking that as well. I do believe, though, that there are some problems here. I do believe that what we have here that's going on, we have a police force. There's no doubt in my mind that they are trying to get their story together.
Yes. Oh,
there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. They're trying to figure out, man, how can we explain this thing away? You cannot tell me not releasing his name, not releasing the autopsy. You're trying to have or hold as much information as possible. Man, come on. I ain't Willie Fufu. I didn't wake up yesterday.
Exactly. And we have a pattern to refer to. This is not the first incident where the process has been slowed to allow people to adjust.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. All right. I certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tanya.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, give me a call, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. Let's go to Fred in Atlanta, listening via WAOK.
Hey, good morning, Ro.
What's happening?
Hey, everything's fine. Hey, that last night, I just want to say kudos to the people of Ferguson. Kudos to the State Highway Patrol. That was just beautiful, that interaction they had. I mean, the police chief marching right along with the people, hugging the people, and congratulating. That's the way that the black community should be getting along with law enforcement. And I think it was a matter of mutual respect. So I want to say congratulations to the governor and the president. I think they called it right. I think it was a good move of the governor to replace who was kind of in charge of securing that situation. They had the right man for the right job, and he did a great job. And so I just want to acknowledge that last night was a good night, I think, all around. And, you know, every witness in this situation has been very consistent. This cop is toast. I'm going to trust the system. You know, once somebody surrenders, you stop shooting. That's been the rule for warfare, for human interaction for millennia. So you don't, even if he did something before that fact, once he surrenders, you stop shooting. He kept shooting after he surrendered. He's toast. He's going to go to jail. And, you know, I trust the system enough to see that that happens. And it seems like everybody's on the case, the FBI, the local state law enforcement. I haven't heard anybody justify him continuing to shoot after he surrendered. Even the police chief, he kind of hummed and hawed when people were asking him about that. But he couldn't say that he could think of a scenario in which once someone surrenders, you keep shooting. That just doesn't happen ever. So you know, I think it's just a matter of time for this cop to be brought to justice. I mean, again, it's not an important case. We ought to, you know, be on top of it. But I think this one is going to go the way that people really expect and want it to go. Because, again, there is no justification for continuing to shoot after you surrender.
All right. I appreciate it, sir. Thanks a lot. 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. Take more of your phone calls when we come back. 8 after the hour. This is News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
Hey, welcome back, News 1 Now. Number to call, 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. Let's go. I want to do this here, folks. I talked to Ben Crump on the Tom Jordan Morning Show, and it really, really some tough comments that he had to say. So here's a portion of the interview. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Roland.
First off, I got several things I want to get to. First off, we saw last night a whole different situation happening in Ferguson. State troopers were now in charge. You can tell what happens when there is different leadership based upon what State Trooper Captain Ron Johnson did leading the forces there.
Absolutely, Roland. I was so proud of President Obama and then getting the governor and encouraging him to do something about what was going on in Ferguson, because that did not look like America the other night.
Second thing, Ben, yesterday, President Barack Obama gave a statement, and a lot of people missed this. He specifically said that the FBI will be leading an independent investigation into the murder of Mike Brown. That is different from what was announced earlier in the week. You and others were calling for the FBI not to simply monitor the St. Louis and Ferguson police, but to do their own investigation.
Absolutely, Roland, because what you and Tom and everybody needs to know is we cannot have the FBI doing a joint investigation where they're going to rely on the St. Louis law enforcement officers to gather evidence. That's not what we need. We need a complete independent autopsy done by the FBI as well as an investigation, so we'll have independent evidence and it's very transparent.
Ben, of course, people are responding. You had rallies and vigils taking place all across America on yesterday. Although, after last night, you have calm in Ferguson, people need to understand that the pressure must still be brought to bear because the autopsy report has not been released. The officer's name has not been released. You also have the investigation. The issue is whether or not this prosecutor there is going to indict this police officer. There's a lot more that has to be done.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of people coming to Ferguson this weekend. Hopefully you and Tom can get to Ferguson at some point, because we have to keep the pressure on until Tom said earlier, he's arrested. Why isn't this guy arrested? He executed this kid in broad daylight, And Tom, I have to tell you, Roland, it is the worst police shooting I have ever seen.
Have you seen the body, Ben?
We have got the body recovered by the family, and it is bad, Tom. It is bad.
This again,
have you
in broad daylight.
Has it been passed on for the independent autopsy?
Yes, we're working on getting an independent autopsy, but more importantly, we want the FBI to do their own autopsy as well. So we're trying to make sure everything is preserved properly.
And when do you think his funeral is going
to
be?
The family is still trying to plan the homecoming, but yet they got to wait to make sure we can gather the evidence so they might be in a position to get justice and not have people say the evidence is tainted. So it's so much that goes on when you're trying to fight for justice.
Ben, I have to ask, do you think that once this autopsy report comes out and people see the body, will they be outraged?
I believe they will be outraged like you can't believe, because people really don't believe me when I'm going on all these television programs and it's the worst, you know, police shooting I've ever seen. Consider, Tom, and you have sons, consider your son broad daylight, T-shirts, shorts, flip-flops. Obviously, no weapon. You put your hands up in the air saying, don't shoot.
And the shot multiple times.
Continue shooting your child while he's on his knees.
Talk about this weekend. There's going to be a rally on Sunday with the National Bar Association, your president-elect, as well as National Action Network and others. Is that still planned for 4:30 p.m. on Sunday?
It is. That's just 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Roland and Martin Luther King III, Judge Mathis, Kimora Lee Simmons, a lot of other folks are planning to come and join. The Rapinelli, the St. Louis folks, all coming to stand up for Michael Brown. And I love what the young people are doing on social media. Hands up, don't shoot. And if I was gunned down, what picture would they use of me?
Ben, next steps is, again, critically important. What do you want? You talk about the folks active on social media having rallies. What do you want them to be doing moving forward?
You know, that's a great question, Roland, because we don't want to just get angry. We want justice. We have to, and I appreciate Attorney General Holder having the, and President Obama having the independent investigation. We got to encourage the FBI to do their own independent autopsy, because normally they just rely on the autopsy of the local medical examiner. Well, this is a very pro-police prosecutor, and this is a very conservative venue. So
do we have to encourage the FBI to do this at this point?
We do, because, you know, we don't want the body to go in the ground without them doing an autopsy.
Again, folks, that was a portion, again, of the interview I conducted with Ben Crump on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. You can go to my podcast to hear the entire interview. We will have that up very, very soon. You can download that podcast from iTunes, just like you can download the whole 3-hour show of News One Now from my podcast. Go to RolandSMartin.com for those details. Simply go directly to iTunes. We come back. I'm going to take your phone calls, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
25 after the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. Number to call is 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. Newport, Kentucky. Pat, listening via the internet. Pat, you're on News One Now with Roland Martin. How you doing?
I'm well this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, my comment today is I live in a very small town. It's covered by 3 states, Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. And there's a lot of things that go on here that people just seem to turn their heads and they don't concern themselves. There was a situation a couple of weeks ago where there was a white male that had shot his wife and her ex-wife and her boyfriend, and they caught him on I-75, and he had a loaded gun, an automatic gun. There were like 6 or 8 police officers, including sheriffs, that surrounded him. He was sitting on a guardrail, and they didn't shoot him. He had the gun on his lap. He put the gun to his head. He paced back and forth and sat down again, and then he finally put the gun down. They didn't even shoot him, and he had a loaded weapon. So I feel that people of color were automatically targeted, and I don't understand why this keeps happening. It's very evil. It's very unjust. But where is the Catholic Church? There's a lot of black Catholics out there. Where are they? Where are the priests, the people with power, the people with the money, the people with the mouthpieces? Where are they? Where's the Jewish community? You know, where are the other people of color? What is going on that people cannot speak up? We have to be our own mouthpiece. We have to campaign for ourselves when it comes to our children and our family and our safety. This is America. These are the same children that you're killing. These their parents and their great parents, their grandparents have fought in the war, have protected the United States of America with all costs, even back as far as you want to go, and still, there's no justice for us. You know, they put us on, especially low-income people, on reservations, calling it housing, calling it the projects. They separate us. They make a difference between all color, people of color. And it's insane. We're in America, you know, and I wish that someone would speak up. To T.D. Jakes, where is Yolanda Adams? Where are the people that have some type of...
Okay, first of all, Yolanda Adams is a syndicated radio show, so she, it's not like she hasn't discussed this issue on her show. So
I'm not talking about just discussing it, sir.
But here's the deal. You're saying discussing it. Okay, when you have a radio platform... Yeah. Part of what you do is to provide perspective, and you use your platform for it. So it's just that's what I do. I'm not so people are sitting there saying, well, "Why aren't you in Ferguson?" Because my role is to sit here and actually bring the attention to the issue and bring it to light. There are people who are already on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have to actually be there, but they can have some type of input. And I thank you for accepting my call.
Okay. All right. Thanks a bunch. Fox, folks, give me a call, 877-373-9766. Demetrius in Cleveland, Ohio, listening via WERE. You're on News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
Hey, good morning, Roland. I'd just like to say I think it's important that in Ferguson that the witnesses who saw what happened be protected, because I think they're the key to the outcome of the crime.
Well, actually, Tremaine Lee just tweeted that the attorney for Dorian Johnson says he is in a safe house.
Oh, okay, I understand. Because I do believe, you know, just like with the Trayvon Martin case, while there wasn't no witnesses, they was able to bend the outcome to their own will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important that the witnesses be protected, and also, it'd probably be background check on the witness to see if their accusation is credible, try to discredit their character and so forth. So it should be very, very careful. The defense attorneys, take that into account and so forth. And also, I heard on the news this morning, the officer who will be revealed, they already come up with the excuse saying he have facial wounds and so forth. So he already tried to get their defense together and so forth and use the same excuse with Zimmerman in Florida. So that's why I believe it's very important that the witnesses stay safe. So we do have that... that account that can be credible, where in Trayvon Martin case there wasn't no witnesses that was so for the defense. And to me, you know, it's real bad that the police departments, they act more like a gang than like defending the community, because they just use the same tactics that the gang would use, snatching somebody into the car and shooting people, but they just seem to have the law on their side. So, you know. So they need to be prosecuted with the same way they prosecute these so-called gangs, you know. But gangs, they evolve because of different reasons. And if they want justice, there don't be any justice. The same way with the Blood and Crips, when they develop, one gang developed because of protection from another one. So if we don't get any justice, you know, the same thing might result, then it'd be saying there's violence, but it could be ended by protecting and so forth. can live their life peacefully.
Okay, I certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to read some tweets. Oh, y'all going to trip out by this. Oh, no, y'all going to trip out by this. The prosecutor, the person who's going to be responsible for prosecuting this officer who shot and killed Mike Brown, oh, he's not happy with yesterday having the cops pulled out of Ferguson. I'm going to read these tweets, and you're going to hear what this guy is thinking. If this is what he's thinking, he's the last person who needs to be prosecuting this case. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
23 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, News One Now. Number to call is 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. Let's go to Herman from Forest Park, Georgia, listening via WAOK. Herman, you're on News One Now with Roland Martin.
Thank you, Roland. Roland, I just got to say, when we use pronoun instead of a noun, we get things done. What I mean by being specific of what you want. When we use for the African-American instead of people of color, we are trying to bring everybody else in our scenario. They won't know the other people, what you call people of color, the brown people, they don't want nothing to do with us. Let's stick with African-Americans when we got a problem. And we'll see that we'll get things done most. You know, heck with this people of color thing. We specifically got to say African America. We're the one that's suffering. And I appreciate you taking my call, Roland.
All right. Thanks so much, sir. I appreciate it. 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. y'all, check this out. So this is unbelievable. So the prosecutor... The prosecutor in St. Louis County, Bob McCulloch, is ticked off that Governor Jay Nixon has the Missouri Highway Patrol in charge of security in Ferguson. This is according to the tweets from Paul Hample, a reporter with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who had a phone call with McCulloch. St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch called me, said Nixon replacing Chief Belmar with Highway Patrol Captain Johnson was illegal, disgraceful. Quote, Nixon denigrated the men and women of the county police department and what they've done. I have great respect for Captain Johnson, and I hope I am wrong, but I think Nixon's action put a lot of people in danger. Really? Y'all, let me break it down for you. This is the guy who will be responsible for possibly prosecuting the officer who killed Mike Brown. So he's not happy that the Ferguson police... So what he's basically saying is... The Ferguson police were doing a bang-up job. What he's saying is, the Ferguson police, it's all good. It's all good. They're doing their job. Is this utterly ridiculous or what? Crazy. This is the guy who is going to be the prosecutor. Unbelievable. He is not happy that the cops were pulled. And so we're supposed to trust that he is going to prosecute fairly? We're supposed to trust that? Really? This is all you need to know to understand the state of mind about this prosecutor. Remember, I talked about trust. How in the world can this prosecutor not have seen that what took place on the streets of Ferguson was crazy? Was unbelievably ridiculous. And he says that the governor has denigrated the men and women of the county police department and what they've done? No, they embarrassed themselves. The governor didn't denigrate them. Their actions is the problem. Their actions. And this is the prosecutor we are supposed to say, oh, he's going to be fair. Wow. His comments are reason enough. This is why Attorney Ben Crump says appoint a state prosecutor. This is why Congressman Lacey Clay says appoint a special state prosecutor. His guy said, oh, Mike, you shouldn't have done it. It was illegal, disgraceful. We saw civility last night. We saw calm last night. We saw peaceful protesting last night. But the county prosecutor, he didn't want that. He wanted the old way. He wanted what took place Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to take place on Thursday. It's all you need to know. 877-373-9766. 877-373-9766. Take your phone calls when we come back. 16 before the top of the hour. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Welcome back, News One Now. Right to the phone lines. Let's go to Will, Salon, Ohio, listening via WERE. Will, your News One Now.
Yeah, can he vote these people out of office? Can he vote them out?
Who?
The prosecutor or the mayor?
The prosecutor. Well, the prosecutor can be voted out when he's up for re-election, yes.
And they'll have the population, and all the people are white.
Well, no. He is the St. Louis County prosecutor. 67% of the people who live in Ferguson are African American. So okay, Ferguson is a city in the county.
Okay, what about the school board? Things like that. They're all white.
Well, actually, there's 6 whites, 1 Latino.
You can't
vote anybody out until the election comes up.
Well, they've been in power for years.
I got you. Well, but the people there got to vote.
See, we're going back in town. I mean, it's hard for us to vote a long time, and we had the right to vote now. Vote them out.
All right. I appreciate it, Will. Thanks a bunch. Virginia in Atlanta, listening via WAOK. You're on News One Now. What's your comment?
Good morning, Roland.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, people's got to become a good citizen. A lot of these people that was out there, perhaps not even a citizen, they need to be a citizen so they can be able to vote. And it should be the human race. The citizen should be a human race and not African-American, because the Constitution was not written by African-Americans. And they need to see if they can be amended into the Constitution. That's my comment.
Okay. All right. Thanks a bunch. Let's go to Waylon, calling from Washington, D.C., listening via WOL 1450. Waylon, you're on News One Now.
You have finally hit the nail on the head. You're the first one to say it and the first one to mention it. They need to start getting the prosecutors around the country, because the police officers are just low-level soldiers pushing policy that is set forth by these chiefs, these prosecutors of the state, and we need to start cleaning house there before, and you'll get the policy changed amongst these police officers. Thank you for bringing that up.
I appreciate it, sir. Thanks a lot. Bernadette calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, listening via WDBZ 1230, The Buzz.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
I wonder, do we really understand this? Because we are not on, we are in a fight for freedom all over again. Because we're up under a law basically against itself. And there are repercussions for that. You know, having everything you want can be heaven and hell. You know, I'm just there has to be a violent overthrow of the imagination inside, and we're going to see a change outside. I'll leave with this parable. It's Pharaoh was wondering why his house was plagued. He had Abraham and Sarah as guests. Abraham is as Caesar, and Sarah is as the church. Pharaoh wanted Sarah for a wife, but this wife was also the wife of the image, America, the church, the Caesar. So, black nation, bottom line,
what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
We control this vision. We are going to continue to see this crime, this murder in the black community, the murdering of young black men, the lynching of the entire black nation until we change the vision.
Okay. All right. Thanks a bunch. Folks, folks, coming up, we got a phenomenal show lined up for you today. We got lots of folks ready to talk, of course. We're going to be chatting with the state senator over there in Ferguson. Boy, she had some tough comments for the governor as it relates to his statements, if you will. Excuse me, by bringing the police in. She tweeted, F you, Governor Jay Nixon. Yeah. So she's going to join us. We also... we'll be chatting with our great panel. We have Greg Carr from Howard University, Lauren Victoria Burke of Politic365.com, Corey Dade from TheRoot.com, Joe Concha of Mediaite. We'll talk about anonymous putting in the name of the police officer out there. Also, in the next hour, Ferguson Police Department says they're going to release the name of the police officer who shot and killed Mike Brown. Libertarians also. It's amazing how the militarization of the police has united liberals, conservatives, and libertarians. We'll have someone with the Cato Institute up next as well. Folks, it is a packed, packed show. You can listen right here on News One Now, or you can watch on TV One. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the show, we talked with Congressman Lacey Clay earlier in the show. I played some of my interview with Ben Crump from the Tom Joyner Morning Show. You can download the podcast of News One Now. All 3 hours, every single day, you can download and listen anytime you want to by simply going to iTunes, type in Roland Martin. Also, go to RolandSMartin.com, RolandSMartin.com. You can do it as well. All right, folks, got to go. I will see you in 5. This is News One Now with Roland Martin.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
President Barack Obama weighs in on the unrest and calls for more transparency in the investigation. The ACLU files not one but two lawsuits trying to get access to the public records involved in the shooting of Mike Brown. Also, attorney Ben Crump, he says Mike Brown was executed by police. And in this hour, police in Ferguson will release the name of the officer who killed Mike Brown. We're breaking it all down right here on News One Now on TV One. Folks, our focus continues to be on Ferguson, Missouri. We are sick in day six after Mike Brown was shot and killed by a police officer in Ferguson. The autopsy report has not been released yet, although attorney Ben Crump told me this morning on the Tom Joyner Morning Show his body has been released to the family. Crump described it as an execution. We'll have some of that later in the show. But last night in Ferguson, it was a totally different view as state troopers there took over the policing of Ferguson from the Ferguson police as well as the St. Louis County police force there as well. And so you had a state trooper, a Captain Ron Johnson from that area, who literally walked with protesters as they actually marched throughout Ferguson. I got a great panel lineup for you today, folks. We have, of course, Corey Day from TheRoot.com, Lauren Victoria Burke, Politics365.com. We also have Professor Greg Carr from Howard University. But joining me right now via Skype is State Senator Maria Chappelle Nadal. And she, of course, has been protesting. She barely has a voice, but we're glad that she's joining us right now. Senator Nadal, first and foremost, clearly, it was a whole different look last night in Ferguson than what we witnessed the previous 5 days.
That is correct. It was beautiful. It's as if 1,000 pounds was lifted off of everyone's shoulders.
So what was interesting, though, is that I said this is what happens when you have leadership. And here you have Captain Johnson, who steps in. He was actually hugging protesters. He made it clear you're not going to see tear gas. What I don't understand is if the Ferguson police had responded this way from the outset, we would not have had this action to be taken.
That is absolutely correct. And I have to tell you, for the 3 days that we had tear gas thrown at us and rubber bullets, two of those days I was gassed alongside of my constituents.
Now, let's talk about this. Not only that, of course, you were very critical of Governor Jay Nixon. Yesterday,
yes.
President Barack Obama praised him as a good man. He's also a Democrat. But you tweeted yesterday, F Governor Jay Nixon. That got
yes.
lots of attention. Why are you so angry with the governor?
The governor has only come to the minority community when it is politically expedient. This is his Katrina. This is Governor Nixon's Katrina. Why is it that his voters, his residents, had to wait 3 nights of tear gas and peaceful demonstrations until he finally acted? And again, this is his Katrina. He has failed the Black community again and again. And unfortunately, this president doesn't know what kind of governor Missouri has. And apparently he doesn't know that he's really a dino, which is a Democrat in name only. And everyone knows it.
Senator Nadal, I got to ask you this question. Shelley, pull up my iPad, please. These are some tweets from Paul Hample. He's with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And this is what took place, what he tweeted last night. He says, St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch called me, said Nixon replacing Chief Belmar with Highway Patrol Captain Johnson was illegal, disgraceful. He then said, quote, Nixon denigrated the men and women of the county police department and what they've done. He also then said, I have great respect for Captain Johnson, and I hope I am wrong, but I think Nixon's action put a lot of people in danger. This is the guy who will likely prosecute the officer who killed Mike Brown. How do you respond to these comments?
Obviously, he's disconnected from the community, as well as our county executive and the governor. Again, I have been to Iraq. In 2010, I was in Iraq, and we were faced with gunfire, and we were in a bunker for about an hour. And what we have gone through for the last 4 days, for the last 6 days, is not even equal to what I went through when I was in Iraq. I felt as though I was in a war zone here in St. Louis, in my district. And it's really unfortunate that McCulloch said that, because it really means that he doesn't care about the respectability of these people. We have been threatened. We've been harassed. Anytime you're looking down at a barrel of a gun and you have all of these guns, and you're completely, we were called animals. We were called animals by St. Louis County police officers. And I know I am not an animal. And I know the people that I represent are not animals. And I know that more than anything else, we deserve the right to express ourselves in peace without being threatened by St. Louis County police. And for McCulloch to say that is offensive. It is absolutely offensive.
Do you believe that a state prosecutor, a special prosecutor, should be appointed by Governor Jay Nixon to lead this case, especially after these comments by St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch?
Well, actually, I'll tell you that I think the Department of Justice needs to intervene on that.
But Sarah Renee Dahl, here's the problem. This has to be a state prosecution. The DOJ, that would be a federal prosecution. The state prosecution must come before the federal. And so there can be a federal investigation, but this has to be a state prosecution because these would be state charges.
Yeah, well, I do believe that we should have an independent person who is overseeing any of this, because all of us in the black community and otherwise have a problem with McCullough, and we always have.
Okay. Senator Maria Callender Nadal, I'll tell you what, it's Maria Chappelle Nadal. It's very, very unbelievable what's happening there. We thank you for joining us via Skype from your car. Thank you so very much. And again, we will stay on top of this story and drink some hot water, lemon and honey to get your voice back.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Roland.
Thanks a bunch. Folks, coming up next, we're going to be chatting with our panel. Also, we'll be talking about the group Anonymous. They released what they said was the name of the police officer who killed Mike Brown. Police say they got it wrong. Joe Concha from Mediaite.com will be joining us as well. Plus, this issue, this militarization of the police, guess what it has done? It has united liberals, conservatives, and libertarians when it comes to the issue of cops looking like they're in a war zone. Someone from the Cato Institute will join us as well. And so you look forward to that conversation. Folks, it is 8 after the hour. This is News One Now, our continuing coverage of what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, right here on TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
It's important to remember how this started. We lost a young man, Michael Brown, in heartbreaking and tragic circumstances. He was 18 years old. His family will never hold Michael in their arms again. And when something like this happens, the local authorities, including the police, have a responsibility to be open and transparent about how they are investigating that death and how they are protecting the people in their communities. There is never an excuse for violence against police or for those who would use this tragedy as a cover for vandalism or looting. There's also no excuse for police to use excessive force against peaceful protests.
That was President Barack Obama yesterday making his statement on this issue in Ferguson, Missouri, while he was on vacation. We're joined now with our panel, Corey Day, Law and Victoria Burke, and also Greg Carr, Howard University. And we also are joined by Joe Concha with Mediaite.com. Is Joe there on Skype?
I am, yeah.
All right, Joe, how you doing? I want to first go to Joe. The group Anonymous yesterday released what they said was the name of the police officer who shot and killed Mike Brown. All of a sudden, that changed, though, because the police department says that was not their name. Twitter banned them from Twitter as well. The police are going to announce in this hour what his actual name is. What does this say about Anonymous, but also how folks ran with this story?
Anonymous, Roland, plain and simple, put lives at risk, innocent lives at risk. I mean, when you think about it, they released the name of a police officer. It was the wrong name. This was just a dispatcher, according to a USA Today column. They also put out the wrong address. They're actually putting out the addresses of these people. They even put out the address of the police chief, the county police chief. His family is at risk. Regardless of where you are on what side of this, are the police wrong? What was the poor gentleman that killed? Did he somehow provoke this? Whatever your opinion is of that, I'm going to stay out of that. Still, the family members of these police officers or people that are being named wrongly, their lives are now at risk. We see how vulnerable everybody is in Ferguson right now. So, you know, Twitter really needs to, you know, obviously they did the right thing by banning the account. But news organizations can't go ahead and run with these kind of stories based on what Anonymous is saying, because obviously they have no credibility now, Roland.
Oh, Lauren, go ahead.
I'm not a fan of putting out the wrong information, but I want to be clear. How are their lives at risk? When have we ever seen a case like this where a cop did something stupid, somebody ended up dead, and then somebody went and killed a cop? When has that ever happened?
You know, I was on the David Webb radio show last night, and I was debating, what's her name? She's ridiculous conservative, Crystal Wright.
Right.
She's utterly ridiculous.
Right.
And they were talking about that whole deal, Greg Carr.
Yes.
And the point that I made is look, I understand safety. But I also said that 24 hours after Eric Garner was killed in New York, we knew the name of the officer, his badge was taken, his gun was taken. We also see, Corey, in a lot of other cases where the name is released. It's a part of the investigation.
It's not.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's interesting. The ACLU has filed these two suits, as you said, one to get the name, the other to kind of talk about First Amendment issues. But ultimately, what we're looking at with Anonymous is a question of exceeding the bounds of what people would consider to be civil order. Sometimes you have to do that. I'm not condoning what they did, but what I'm saying is that the response of formal authority in these situations is often to try to contain and dictate the terms that people use to try to protest.
Exactly. By not releasing the name, they made a bigger deal out of it. It's like they're naming a pope or something. Just put the name out. The name's going to come out anyway.
Well, as for Anonymous is concerned, it's all about being accurate.
That's the first thing.
So you think about journalistic standards.
Joe, one second. Go ahead, Corey.
Journalism has to be aggressive and assertive. There are certain rules. The only problem with net neutrality in this case, it gives equal weight to anyone like Anonymous who puts things out that's uncorroborated. The second thing I will say, this is about trust. The police officers are imbued with enormous legal authority, but what goes along with that authority in turn is to actually be accountable to the public. So the idea that somehow the police department has to protect this officer from harm is really BS. The bottom line is they can protect anyone they need to. They can protect one of their own. They have the full resources of the entire county, legal, law enforcement apparatus at their disposal to protect this officer if necessary.
Exactly.
They are required to answer for their behavior publicly.
They are?
Yeah.
Yes, they are, by law. They are. It's a public entity.
Sounds good
in
theory,
it's a government agency.
Yeah.
But it's
in practice, that's not what actually happens. I mean, the point is, we don't need...
say anything about what they actually do. I'm telling what the requirement is.
No contract. Go ahead.
Right. That's why we're able to hold them accountable.
Joe, go ahead.
The police absolutely should have put out the name of the police officer within at least 12 hours, 24 hours, because what happens, it leads to speculation. It leads to groups like Anonymous saying, oh, we have the name of the guy. Here's the address. So, yeah, I'm not justifying the police holding back that name. I'm just saying that by doing so, it led to this. Media then runs with it as well. And I got to disagree. I think there's been plenty of retaliations that have been done as a result of what a police officer has done.
Give an example.
I don't have a specific example in front of me. I'd be happy to tweet one out.
I mean, there's this whole meme about the cop would be in danger, but there's only one person dead in this story, and that's Mike Brown.
Right.
And I mean, we tell these stories with Eric Garner and Mike Brown. We go through these episodes again and again. The dead person is the person who was killed by the cops, not somebody from retaliation. That hasn't happened.
Right. USA Today spoke to the stepmom of the police officer whose name was released that is wrong. And she says, I fear for my life. She has four German Shepherds. She has herself on lockdown. She has family members coming over with guns to protect the house. Even if she hasn't been hit, even if she hasn't been attacked, she still is living in fear. And that's what's wrong about putting out
the witnesses are living in fear. We saw a witness last night, Tiffany Mitchell on MSNBC, who's living in fear.
Yeah, and we
I don't think,
also Dorian Johnson, one of the other witnesses, his attorney had told Tremaine Lee that he is in a safe house. Greg?
Yeah, no, all I was going to say is that, you know, it's interesting. This whole debate is because risk has been spread out now. We're talking about an assumption of risk.
That's right.
The battle pay in a democracy of citizenship is the assumption of risk. Now, these people have been shielded from risk. I mean, how ridiculous is it to say that you need a no-fly zone because you have to protect the safety of the police? In other words, the assumptions we make, all of our assumptions have to be challenged.
Keep the newest helicopters out of the way.
Exactly. Well, of course. That's right.
Well, I mean, you know, this is a classic case of overreaction. What we see in many of these smaller communities, we see law enforcement overreacting, in part because they don't have experience with this kind of unrest, this kind of controversy. And so they load up for bear and they overreact. In the larger cities, they're hyper-militarized, but you see actually a more professional police force. You see them adhering to more community policing standards. They're not perfect by any means, but it's like the bigger the controversy, the smaller the community, the more egregious often these police officers behave.
Hold tight 1 second. Joe Concha, I want you to stay with us as well. Folks, Shelly, go to my iPad, please. What you're watching is a live feed of folks setting up for the news conference where the police chief of Ferguson, Missouri is going to be announcing the name of the police officer and who shot and killed Mike Brown. We will go to that live as soon as he steps to the podium. Folks, up next, this issue of Ferguson, Missouri, the militarization of the police department, it has united, shockingly, liberals, conservatives, and libertarians. Up next, A member from the Cato Institute joins us to talk about this issue. Also, the ACLU, as Greg mentioned, has filed two lawsuits to make public the records involved in the shooting of Mike Brown. We continue our comprehensive coverage of what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, right here on News One Now with TV One. It's 20 after the hour. Back in a moment.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Folks, in the wake of the police shooting of Michael Brown, folks on the ground are really leading this charge. See, when you watch some of these other networks, you watch Fox News, you watch some of these other different people, they're complaining about Reverend Al Sharpton and complaining about Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. But the reality is, the folks who were fighting this were the people who live in Ferguson, who are on the ground. They're the ones who were leading this charge. The question now is, how do you take this moment? And you've heard me say this before with Jenna 6, with Trayvon Martin, other issues. How do you take a moment and turn it into a movement? That's the discussion we're going to have right now with our panel. Joining me, folks, via, of course, from the area, Jermaine Wooten. He's an activist, also an attorney. And also we have Akbar Muhammad with the Fruit of Islam, with the Nation of Islam. Akbar, how you? He's on the phone from Ferguson. Akbar, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Roland.
Folks, yesterday there were lots of different rallies all across the country. We're going to show some of these photos right now. I mean, you name it, Boston, Chicago, New York, Ferguson, people united across the country, St. Louis. There were photos. You saw all kinds of different rallies taking place. People were simply holding their hands up, don't shoot. Photo, Howard University students, freshmen there took photos as well. Clearly, the world is engaged when it comes to this issue. And I want to go to you, Akbar, first. What is next? How are you keeping folks engaged? Because by not having lots of action last night from the police, some folks may say, hey, things have quieted down. How do you keep the focus on this issue?
Well, thank you very much, Martin. And I want to say quickly, number one, this will change police departments across this country. The very fact that they brought out that 53 or so policemen in a 67% black town, only three are black. Those others are not sensitive to the needs of black people, our culture, our lifestyle. And they see us, as one police said on television, CNN beeped it out, that called us animals. Actually called us animals, and that's the way they handled it. The difference, Martin, is that the world has not seen an army going into a community using tear gas and smoke bombs and snipers on the roof and armed personnel vehicles, and it has shocked the country and the world, and it has shamed America. America learned the lesson 46 years ago in Chicago when Mayor Daley, old man Daley, brought out tremendous force, and it became an embarrassment to our country and the pain of the entire world, seeing a brutal police force doing to demonstrations what took place 46 years ago.
Jermaine,
so we have a repeat of that.
Jermaine, again, I'm always talking about how do we move from a moment to a movement. You still have the autopsy not being released. You've got the prosecutor, Bob McCulloch, who's made these ridiculous comments blasting Governor Jay Nixon for calling in state troopers. You have so many other issues there. Last year, there was an election there. 1,500 people voted, and so you got 67% black, two-thirds of the city, but you have virtually no black leadership. How are you organizing and mobilizing people locally to keep this issue at the forefront?
Hey, Martin, well, first off, Roland, thank you for having me on your show. I think we must demand transparency, and we must keep that message going day in and day out. We're on the ground every day, me and the other African-American attorneys, explaining to the protesters exactly what we need to do moving forward. And what we need to do moving forward is demand that St. Louis County release this investigation and turn it over completely to the Justice Department. St. Louis County needs no involvement in this investigation at all. Because bottom line, Martin, if this kid had shot that police officer on that same day, Michael Brown would have been taken in custody. He would have been taken out to St. Louis County jail. There would have been a thorough interview of each and every witness right there on the scene. Every witness would have been interviewed within 1 hour. They would have given verbal and written statements to the police. Michael Brown would have been charged with first degree murder. He would have been given a no bond opportunity. He would have been labeled on every news outlet here in St. Louis. as a cop killer. And this police officer has been afforded every opportunity and every chance by the prosecutor's office, by St. Louis County, to go ahead and put together a story that's seemingly making no sense. If this kid, what we're learning right now, he was shot at least one time in the head and multiple shots in the body. It's no justification, and unarmed at the same time, it's no justification that St. Louis County could even come up with to justify that charges are not being filed right now.
I want to go to Greg Carr here. Greg, I'm always, again, pushing this, because, look, you got people who are protesting, getting arrested. You need to have a system. And that is, if somebody wants to give money to bail them out, you have to have that.
Right.
I think all too often what this generation continues to do, and I'm talking to millennials and others, they continue to denigrate, saying, oh, that's that old school stuff. But if anybody had any sense and studied Ella Baker and studied SNCC and studied SCLC, there was a system that was set up to keep the movement going.
That's
Emmett
right.
Till was killed in 1955 on August 28th. You didn't have the Fair Housing Act until 1968. That's 13 years of a movement. The only way that happens, you've got to have infrastructure.
Absolutely. I mean, and we have institutions. I mean, you got two HBCUs in Missouri. You got Harris Stowe in St. Louis, and you have Lincoln there. And a lot of Black college student leadership is meeting at Howard next month. And the Howard students have already come up together with a 10-point agenda for them to pursue. I think it's very important for us to understand that we need to use our institutions. HBCUs have several law schools. Howard has one. There's North Carolina Central, Texas Southern, Miles College in Alabama. You know, we've got enough legal firepower at our
right.
institutions to support Ben Crump. We need to do these kind of things now and move forward, as you said.
Akbar and Jermaine, I got real quick, I got about 30 seconds left. What we want to know is, again, who are the touch points? If folks trying to offer assistance, who do they call? Who do they email? Who do they reach out to? Akbar first, then Jermaine.
Okay, first of all, the family should be the point. I met with the father the other day, and I think that, you know, we didn't organize it. It was, thinking on our feet and doing the best that we can.
Understand.
The family should be the focus first, and then we'll organize other things around that.
Jermaine?
I think the Miles City Bar Association, we're available 24 hours a day. That we can be reached by email. You can log on milescitybar.org, and I think we're prepared to deal with any situation here in St. Louis, Martin, and thanks again for having me on your show.
Again, Jermaine Wooten and Akbar Muhammad, we certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much, and we'll stay certainly on top of this story as well. Folks, up next, ACLU, they filed a lawsuit saying open up the records. Also, I talked with attorney Ben Crump, he's the attorney for the family, on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. You will not want to miss what he had to say, how he is describing the shooting, the killing of Mike Brown. What are your thoughts on this as well? Give us a call, 877-373-9766, 877-373-9766. We'll also hear from Congressman Lacey Clay, who I talked to earlier as well. 15 before the top of the hour, this is News One Now on TV One.
Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Welcome back to News One Now. This is Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson. The news conference actually just ended where he revealed the name of the police officer who shot and killed Mike Brown. He also made some other statements. Do we have that ready to play back in terms of some of his news conference? Okay, I need you to, okay, tell me when that is ready. Real quick, Corey, the name of the police officer?
Darren Wilson. That's what the police chief of Ferguson said in his press conference. It's now being tweeted all over now.
He also made reference about a robbery. All of a sudden, we're hearing that. That's the first time we've heard something about a robbery.
Yeah, a strong-arm robbery on August 9th, which
right.
would
but
indicate
it was unclear,
that.
Well, it's unclear why he's referencing a robbery. It was in the context of him explaining to media that they are releasing a packet of information that the media requested. So we don't know if the robbery is connected to the Michael Brown shooting or if it's connected to a response that they are giving to media.
Hold tight 1 second. So let's play back some of the news conference of Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson.
He At 12:01 p.m., our officer encountered Michael Brown on Canfield Drive
At 12:04, a second officer arrived on the scene immediately following the shooting, and at 12:05, a supervisor was dispatched to the scene, and subsequent officers arrived. There has been some questions about the calling of an ambulance. The ambulance that was at the sick case on Glen Arc was coming by immediately following the shooting, and they did respond to assess Michael Brown. So I'm going to have some police officers going to be handing out packets that have all the information that was requested and the Sunshine request concerning the robbery. We're going to give those packets, first of all, to those agencies that have made the Sunshine request, and then anybody else who wants them. I think we have enough to give out.
All right, folks, that was Ferguson Police Chief Tom Jackson giving us the name of the police officer who was involved in this particular shooting of Mike Brown. Earlier this morning, I talked with Ben Crump. He, of course, is the president-elect of the National Bar Association. He was the attorney for the Trayvon Martin family, also one of the attorneys for the Kendrick Johnson family out of Georgia. That case is still unresolved as well. The young man who was found dead, he is now part of the legal team for the family of Mike Brown. This is how he described. He said that, first of all, the family now has the body of Mike Brown. And this is how he described Mike Brown's killing.
Have to keep the pressure on until, as Tom said earlier, he's arrested. Why isn't this guy arrested? He executed this kid in broad daylight. And Tom, I have to tell you, Roland, it is the worst police shooting I have ever seen.
Have you seen the body, Ben?
We have got the body recovered by the family, and it is bad, Tom. It is bad.
He described Mike Brown as simply being executed. When I go to Corey Day, Lon Victoria Burke, and Greg Carr as well. One of the things that he also told me was that they want the FBI to do their own autopsy. They don't trust St. Louis County doing this autopsy. The family is also going to do an independent autopsy, which is one of the reasons why they haven't even planned the funeral of Mike Brown.
Sure. Yeah, we've seen, and of course, Ben Crump also represented the family of Trayvon Martin. We saw through that trial how an autopsy, how forensic evidence, et cetera, can be picked apart and spun in either direction. So what they're trying to do is make sure they have an autopsy that they pay for, that they can own, and that they can use, if needed, in court to refute whatever the prosecution, or whatever, excuse me, the defense would actually add when they bring in their expert, their expert forensic analysts and their medical examiners.
Yeah, well, I don't know what autopsy they're going to come up with that's going to show the kid wasn't shot in the back. I mean, all the witnesses are all saying the same thing. And the problem with this case is you cannot shoot a fleeing felon in the back. Even if you assume the scenario that we've already heard, the scenario of Mike Brown grabbing a gun of a seated cop in a cop car, if he's fleeing and his back is turned and he's shot with his back turned, they've got a huge, huge problem. Well, and it seems like from what we're seeing on Twitter that there was no release of the incident report, which could tell you a lot also.
Well, Greg, about 30 seconds.
I was going to say, you know, let's frame it. I mean, let's say, okay, you can certainly see that this was not a justified shooting if you know, evidence pans out. But then let's back map it. We just heard something that sounds like they're going to try to frame this as if this police officer was acting reasonably in response to some criminal act. So whether or not Mike Brown is a criminal or not, the idea is the cop was doing what cops do in situations that are hot. I mean, it seems like they're trying to frame this now.
What's interesting is the police chief has been very selective in the information that he gives out. He gave out information saying that there was an assault on the officer in the police car.
Right.
He said that there was a bruise that the officer sustained on his face. But then after that, the police chief doesn't give any details about how it went from that scenario to them being outside the car and shooting him in the back.
Hold tight 1 second. We're going to pick up on that when we come back, folks. This is News One Now on TV.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now. With Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Welcome back, News One Now. Our continuing coverage of the drama unfolding in Ferguson, Missouri. Again, 6 days ago, Mike Brown was shot and killed by a police officer. We now know his name. We also still don't know exactly what transpired. Greg Carr, that was the thing President Barack Obama talked about.
Yeah.
He said you have to be transparent. The reason there's no trust here, because we don't have a full explanation of what happened. The witnesses who were involved were not even interviewed until a day or two ago, which was 4 days after it actually took place. Mm-hmm. We didn't know the name of this police officer. As Court just alluded to, we heard all these different stories. It is as if folks are trying to figure out what the story is going to be, to then put it together very nicely and say, okay, America, to the American public, here you go.
Of course, haven't we seen that before, whether it be the American public writ large or the jury pool? The idea is to poison the well. And certainly, you got to get your story straight. They didn't have a chance to do that in this case. So, I mean, there's nothing that's really surprising in this. And the president's right. But this question of trust goes to the heart of the American project. When have we ever been able to trust law enforcement?
Lauren, one thing that people, I think a lot of people overlooked, all the people who criticized President Obama's statement yesterday, mm-hmm. but the biggest thing he said was the FBI is now doing an independent investigation.
Right.
Earlier, they were reviewing the St. Louis County investigation.
Right.
Now they're doing their own. They're literally interviewing witnesses directly. That is a huge, huge development.
It is huge. And we're hearing that they're on the ground asking all the questions that should have been asked by the police department right after this happened. And no matter what details come out, it's not going to change the fact that a teenager was shot dead. A teenager was unarmed, shot dead. Apparently in the back, I can't imagine that four or five people saying the same thing is suddenly going to change at some point. You're still left with that. And so the FBI being involved is huge.
If I can push back on that role of the FBI, the FBI is there interviewing for the purposes of a civil rights investigation, a civil rights violation.
That's
the
right.
FBI and the federal government have no jurisdiction on a regular murder case.
Right.
So they're not going to take over this case. We need to kind of get that out of our
heads. The state case, but by the feds, though, doing interviews with the witnesses,
right.
Those are documents that could be used in a state prosecution.
Correct.
Because the issue here is by interviewing witnesses 5 days later, you want the interview fresh.
Right.
That's what you want.
That's right.
So
right.
By these folks delaying.
Right.
All this time, if you're a defense person, you could say, wait a minute,
that's right.
Things happen 4 or 5 days later,
right.
as opposed
that's
to right after.
Right.
That's
right.
Exactly. No, what they're what the presence of the FBI doing the interview has the effect of actually applying pressure to local authorities to get this investigation going. And it's a specific check on the transparency or lack thereof of the local authorities in this investigation.
You can tell by the way the cops are acting by not being transparent that there's obviously a problem. Because if there is no problem, it's a righteous shoot. You want to get that out there as soon as possible. You want that out, you know, hey, this kid had a gun or this kid had whatever, and then you get it out.
I haven't seen a police union official speak.
Exactly.
No, but you know,
silent.
Race matters. A black attorney general who has been vigorous and consistent, a black president, now a black chair, a head of the state troopers in Missouri saying, y'all stay out here all night. We need to manage this. Race matters, Roland. It shouldn't in America, but it does. That is really giving black people a little bit of a sense of confidence. And the response to them has been virulent by these local officials.
Folks, on Sunday, there's going to be a 3 p.m. rally in Ferguson, Missouri, being led by Attorney Ben Crump, Reverend Al Sharpton, and others as well. Again, at 3 p.m. This Sunday in Ferguson. We'll have coverage of that on Monday right here on News One Now. We will have continuing coverage. It will take place at Greater Grace Church, again, 3690 Pershore Road. Folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. This is News One Now, Roland Martin.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.